CSN, new music.
The Pierces, You'll Be Mine. Beautiful sisters that came by and did a session a couple of weeks ago on 88.5 KCSN, the Pierces. I was awestruck by their beauty, but they pale in comparison to the two beautiful men sitting to my left and your right on the radio, Chris Isaak and Kenny Dale Johnson. And I guess I should put your mics on, guys, because without them, well, it doesn't really sound like an interview, does it?
Thanks for having us.
Good to see you.
Although, according to you, Chris, if the mics are off, you attain perfection, right?
Even better with the mics off sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, is that the case? Well, this record, the brand new record, which you guys have just put out, Beyond the Sun, if I'm to believe your bio, right at the very top, it says, I've always wanted to make this record. It's a quote from you. I've always wanted to prove it. Well, now I have to ask you, did you want to make this record when you were in high school?
Yeah.
Did you want to make this record when you were riding a tricycle?
I would say the first music that I listened to, I can say this. I asked my mom recently, I said, I made this album. She said, you know, that's the first music you listen to. I go, well, I listened to it early. She goes, no, it's the first. She said, when you were being born, I was singing Blue Suede Shoes. So I go, that's the first Sun hit, and that's the first thing I guess I heard.
So there you have it. So yeah. You have all, it's a true statement
since
now.
Since day one, I've been in on it.
Pre-day one.
I think everybody, the good thing is that this kind of music is, the way it's recorded and the way I like to hear it, and what I like about it so much is it's guys without tricks. I mean, everybody's in a room. When Elvis was recording, Orbison was recording, when Carl Perkins, these guys, they went into the room and they played, and it wasn't fixed later. It was like they all sang, they all played together. And so you kind of rely on the band and everybody having the same groove. And thank God, I think everybody in my band, over the years, I guess when I auditioned people, I always would pick people. I'd say, well, can you play this? And it would always, you know, can you play, turn off the waterworks, baby, they don't move no more. And you go, that wouldn't be something we'd play on our show, but I go, at the audition, you had to pass that test too, you know. What can you play that swings?
Well, and also in going back to what is certainly, a legendary facility. I don't even know if that's the right word. It's a church. I don't know.
It's legendary, and it's amazing to me. I mean, if you're a musician, you certainly know about Sun Studios in Memphis, Tennessee. And if you're not, in a nutshell, it's the little studio in Memphis, Tennessee, not a very big room, that Elvis Presley walked in and said, I want to make a record for my mom. The first record he recorded. Evening shadows make me blue. When each weary day is through, how I long to be with you. My happiness, 1,000,000 years it seems, have gone by since we shared our dreams. If you listen to the original, what's cool is the guitar is way out of tune, but he still sings like an angel. But that same building that he walked in and was like, you know, there wasn't rock and roll really, just, yeah, you know, the beginnings. And he walked in there, the same room that Elvis, Carl Perkins, Roy Orbison, Jerry Lee Lewis, Howlin' Wolf, B.B. King, all these guys recorded with Sam Phillips, the producer that discovered all this talent. That room is still there. They didn't tear it down to put up, you know, a Sears or a Starbucks.
Yeah, that's
if it was probably right in the middle of town, they might have, but it's kind of on the edge of town, which saved it, and which I'm so glad, you know, because it's out in the area where they have like muffler shops and stuff. You know what I mean?
But well, that's rock and roll.
It's fantastic. Oh man, you're making a record, and you know you're in the studio working. Well, we went back to Memphis to record a lot of this record, and we would work at night because they still do tours there. If you're ever in Memphis, you should drop by the Sun Studio. And they're really cool people, but they said, well, you can record here, but, you know, we do the tours during the daytime. But I said, well, that's not a problem. We're musicians. We'll stay up late. So we'd stay up 2-3 in the morning recording, and then they gave us the keys to the diner, which is adjoining it. And they said, you get hungry, just help yourself. So it was, I think this is probably the most fun record we ever had.
Yeah, easy.
Now, were you... when you got in there, into Sun Studios, and you started to get into the process, were you, I guess, inspired and exhilarated, or were you at the same time a little intimidated by, can we do this? Can we nail what's in our head and our heart? Can we make it true to what those guys did? It had to be, because I know it was a labor of love, it had to be a sense of, man, we gotta play our A game in this room.
I was intimidated when I thought about going there, not by the room, but because I was gonna. Cowboy Jack Clement, who wrote some of Johnny Cash's nicest, discovered Jerry Lee Lewis and worked with Jerry Lee and Johnny Cash a lot, and just has. I mean, Cowboy Jack is a towering figure in music, and he was going to be there and join us and help out.
and Roland Jaynes, who played guitar on so many of the great songs in the 50s, and I mean, a whole lot of shaking going on, and all kind of Jerry Lee Lewis, Great Balls of Fire and everything, he's there. So Roland Jaynes is going to come in, and I go, my heroes are going to be there, and I don't want to screw up in front of them. I don't want them to go, this kid doesn't know what he's doing.
He ain't got it.
So we worked, pardon my French, we worked our asses off before we ever got there to be ready. And then by the time we got there, I said, now it's just, we're so ready. It's like.
You just did the 1-2-3 kick and you were off and running.
1-2-3 kick, go. On most records, you know, you hear a record and it'll be like, take 21, a little more bass in, okay, guys, and make sure you don't hit the high line hard. Okay, go. These records start with almost everyone. I go back and listen to it. There'll be some kind of a dirty joke or somebody laughing or my bass player making a wisecrack almost every track. So everybody was very kind of, you'd think that they would be more uptight because it was all in one room and we didn't have headphones. So everybody, it's all bleeding in the thing. So if anybody screws up, that's it. You got to do it again. But, I mean.
It was very exhilarating that first night. Yeah. The people that worked at Sun said, you ought to see the looks on you guys' faces because I can't believe I'm doing this. It was such an honor.
And the late night pass, it probably added even more of a certain mystique to it, right? Because you guys knew you were doing the night owl run, and you were just going to go back and recall all the ghosts. They were there in the air.
I'm a big fan of this music. So, and I over the years I got to work with. I mean, I worked with Jerry Lee Lewis, and I've played with Johnny Cash. I mean, Carl Perkins. I was in there. What we're doing? True love, your love. Oh, true love, baby. And I'm singing this song, and I look up on the wall, and there's a picture of Carl Perkins, like, looking right down. The angle is just right. He's looking right at me and smiling, and I'm just laughing. I go, you know, it just made you feel good. You go, like, I'm doing his song. He probably would be happy about it.
Sure thing.
He's the guy I asked Carl Perkins. I said, you did a song called Her Love Rubbed Off. It's a very odd track, and, you know. See my baby walking through the park. See my baby after dark. Her love rubbed off. Her love rubbed off. And I went, what is that song? I want to do that. Like, that's crazy. What is that? Her love rubbed off. So I'm talking to Carl, and I said, Carl, I love that song of yours. I can't really hear all the words. It's kind of slurred, but, you know, what's that song about? And he said, Chris, it's about a court too many. And I didn't catch it the first time. And he goes, huh? He goes, yeah, I was drinking. And he goes, and I went in the Sun Studios about 3 in the morning and just let her rip. And I go, we tried to do a little of that too. It's just get in there and let it rip, you know, have fun.
Well, Tom Petty, you mentioned that. Tom Petty was with us last week, and he told a story of how one of his idols was J.J. Cale. And he got to meet J.J., and one of the songs he loved, he said, you know, one of my favorite songs by you is I Like to Love You So Much. And JJ said, I don't know that one. He goes, no, that's one of your songs. And he goes, no, I don't recall that. And he goes, no, you have to. It's from your first record. It's my favorite song by you. He goes, I'm afraid, young man, I don't remember. So Tom Petty says, here I am in this moment meeting my idol, and I have to teach his song to him.
Did he remember it finally? And go?
No, he didn't remember it. Okay. Well, that's all right. You know what? You know, we all live various degrees of hard living, and sometimes, you know, some minor details get past you, like your first songs you record. Yeah, they can slip your memory.
When people come up and they say, I like a song, and if they get the title wrong of a song, right. I never correct them. Because I know how it is. Like sometimes I love a song by somebody, and I think I don't know exactly what the title of it is, but I love that song, and I'll say, you know, I like that song of yours. And people will say to me, you know, Wicked Games, or you know, whatever, Baby Did a Bad Things, or whatever. It's like close enough. You like it, I'm happy. You know.
Yeah, that one you got. Well, you ought to take requests. In the day when everybody would hang on the phone and make requests to radio folk. It literally was, you had to go to a school to decipher, translate what the requests were. All right, that's for the, okay, I know what you're talking about
now.
When
I was growing up, in my hometown, there was a radio station that would be on late at night, and my parents thought I was sleeping, but I had a literally the big stand-up radio, the old tube.
Oh, right, right.
I still have that radio, by the way, Ken. Yeah. It's the one at the house.
That's a beauty.
And it's a big silver tone radio, and it had a tube on it. It was like a green eye, and as you focused, the eye would get tighter and tighter, like, you know, cat eye. And I would call the local station, KJOY, and it was like, it was so cool. It was like, you know, such a small town that I could call up, and within, like, you know, two rings, they'd pick up, and it was him. It wasn't like, you know, you had to hope to get through. It was like, hi, who is it? What do you want me to play? And I go, that's, I would hear songs, and I'd, you know, call in and ask for stuff, and they would play it, and I would, it was fantastic. I got to hear a lot of stuff that I, you know, you'd go, can you
couldn't
play?
Afford to buy them all.
No, I couldn't hear it all. So you go, like, can you play Elvis Presley, you know, She's Not You in the middle, you know, yeah. Her hair is gold, and her eyes are oh so blue. She's everything a man could want, but she's not you. She knows just how to make me laugh the way you do, and it's just breaking my heart, she's not you. And when we're dancing, sometimes I feel this way. I've got to stop myself from whispering your name. Just like that, Kenny.
All right. K-Joy.
Pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, well, it's 88.5 KCSN, but for a moment we were harkening back to the wondrous moments in Crit's youth in which radio would respond to the listener. And that is something that you know, not to talk nostalgia, but obviously, you know, we all grew up on a kind of radio where that magic was near and dear to us, and it was because those people would connect with someone with the bedroom covers up, you know, not supposed to be listening.
And I think they let the DJs have a little more leeway, which I think is a great idea.
If you got good DJs, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, a lot of DJs, I mean, they're not in it for... not in it for the money, for God's sakes. They're in it for music. And if you let them do it, they'll pick cool and eccentric things that keep you listening. Sometimes when you what kills me is the people that go, I just announce things, but it all comes out of Cincinnati.
Yeah, huh? Yeah, and that's going to get a little worse. Now, the good thing we were talking earlier about our weekend host, we have a couple of hosts that, what's the farthest one, 120-mile round trip?
Yeah, 120.
One of our hosts drives 120 miles round trip just to have his couple hours on the air where Downey. He does his thing. Downey, and look, as you know, down in Southern California, 120 miles, I don't know what that is in Ohio miles or in Iowa miles. That's more like 300 miles. Right. And that's the passion that they bring. And we certainly respect what you're talking about there that and a lot of the hosts here. And we do have, you know, we were talking earlier off mic, we got some kooky cats that work in this place. I'll tell you that much.
There can be nobody as kooky as Dewey Phillips. You ever listen to tapes of Dewey Phillips?
Oh, sure.
Somebody gave me, for people who don't know, when Elvis started out, he recorded at Sun, and then Sam Phillips, no relation, who produced him, brought the record over, the story is, to this DJ, Dewey Phillips, had a show called Red Hot and Blue. And I listened to his riffs, and I go, they would not allow him on the radio today. He would, one of his advertisements, have you heard this guy, Kenny?
Yeah, he played it.
One of his advertisements is, he goes, yeah, brother, yeah, come on down to the radio station, and if we're not there, just take yourself a wheelbarrow full of bowling balls and push them through the glass door. And you go, today, because people are nuts, somebody would go, well, he said to, so I did, you know, but like, he would just... You go, wow.
A wheelbarrow of bowling balls.
Yeah, one of his lines.
That's
all. Yeah. That's all it took. You know, if we don't play your song, bring a wheelbarrow of bowling balls by, and we'll fix that. By the way, we're now reminiscing, so don't anyone take us literally. If you just tuned in, I'm not actually telling you to bring balls. Don't bring the wheelbarrow by. Why don't you? Is there a song when you were going into this? Well, I'm sure part of the curating of the record, you probably had too many songs to really condense, and actually you didn't condense it because you have a deluxe where there's more,
right.
But were there one or two that you knew, if you ever set foot in that room, that they had to come out of you? Were there a couple of that you said, this is a burning desire, I have to play this song?
Well, I think the first, probably my favorite one, I know we don't play it all the time, but I forgot to remember to forget her. I can't seem to get you off my mind. I thought I'd never miss her, but I found out somehow. I think about you almost all the time. Oh, the day we said goodbye, I made myself a promise that I'd soon forget we'd ever met. Oh, but something sure is wrong, 'cause I am so blue and lonely, I forgot to remember to forget. I got myself actually thrown out of, I would got thrown out of classes in college for singing that song. It was in Japan. I was boxing and I was taking some class. I was a light heavyweight at Aoyama Gakuin University.
Yeah, I know a bunch of people that went there.
Yeah? No. It's a good university, actually.
I can't even say it, let alone know anyone who went.
It's a good university. And I was at that university and I was their light heavyweight, but I was supposed to be studying and there was a Japanese kid who had a guitar and I had my guitar and we'd go and sit in the hallway because the stairway sounded great echo. And we would play over and over. We'd play all these old, you know, Sun Sessions things. And we had about 30 or 40 girls would come out and sit in the hallway and listen. So we were out there all the time. And finally, the dean called me in and goes, you are a fire hazard. You can no more. No more to be playing in the hall. You will. And that was it. I was out.
Yep. Bums rush.
That's not
the only hall you probably ever got tossed out of, though, in your day, I'm going to imagine.
You know, I'm not a troublemaker by nature. Everybody tries to be rock and roll rebels. I'm just trying to get along. I'm just not, no. You know, it's like, I don't think we ever, I remember one time I was singing a song. I was going, I'm a guy who likes to party. I like to stay out late at night. And our keyboard player goes, no, you don't. I went, you're right.
Yeah, so much for authenticity. Yeah. I'm trying to remember it's going to drive me crazy because the first time I saw you back when I was at K-Fog up in San Fran, it was in the East Bay, and you were really starting to come on the scene.
Dan
on
Bo- and Kenny Johnson will tell me what clubs we play in East
the
Bay.
The Omni.
Was it the Omni?
It looked like an old Elks Hall.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Omni.
Okay. All I know
it
was...
It was a bad neighborhood. Too.
Yes, it was
there
a bad
neighborhood. There was a stabbing in front of it, and I said, that's got to put ticket sales down.
Yeah, that hurts.
There was a stabbing by the front door. We hate that.
However, the upside of that gig, as I recall, was every model that was in San Francisco was at that show. So I knew I wanted to come to more of your shows.
Well, I always thought, you know, it was easy to get guys to come once they came because I go, the front, like, 30 feet of the thing was nothing but beautiful women.
Absolutely.
Went, you got to be crazy not to come up here. It's like, come on.
Oh, that's the thinking about on ladies' night at bars. They figure the guys will come.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, that was a ladies' night, too. And you're right. See, because I had just gotten to San Francisco, and they said, okay, I'm going to go over and see you guys. And it's a dicey hood, you know. I'm thinking, okay.
We played some dicey. You know, the fun thing about when you start off is you play all kinds of oddball places. And I remember playing places. But, you know, you're so excited by other things. I remember playing a place. Two things stuck in my mind. I'll never forget it. One was it had a bathroom with no lights. And I refused to go in there. I said, I'm not going in a bathroom.
Yeah, who knows, right?
I go, I can't go in the pitch dark. I don't know who's in there. I ain't going in there. Forget it. And the other thing was I remember sitting, and I was so excited because I had a brand-new Silvertone amp, which I thought, wow, this is pretty cool, you know. And I'm playing all this.
Did it blow up?
It did blow up. But it was like I'm on stage playing, and I was all excited. And I'm thinking, man, we sound great. And I look down, and there's like five people in the club. And I think three of them were hookers and two were sailors, and they were shooting up at the table in front of us. And I go, you know, we could play anything we want tonight. You know, these people.
It would sound good.
Yeah, they're not here particularly for the music.
It would sound good to them as far as they were concerned. Why don't we get another one in from the record? When you go and approach an album like this, and you mentioned the litany of artists, and they're sometimes common thread amongst them, and then obviously they all, for the most part, had both their soft, you know, their tender side, and then they had their rocking side.
Right.
How did you go about saying, all right, how much of this album, I know for one, the single that you wrote for the record, you said, well, you know what, we need to put a little bit more of a rock stomp to the thing. So that was a reason for that record being on there. But did you think about as you started to put it together, okay, we're going to have a little bit of this sound, a little bit of that sound. Oh, we got to have a couple of those because you wanted it, I imagine, it to be representative of the full picture.
You know, I when I listen to other, I love rockabilly music and I love early rock and roll. And the problem for me when I would listen to some rockabilly records was that they treated it with they played only the really rave-up stuff.
Right.
They played it really loud with a distorted-sounding guitar because they thought that was tougher, I guess, or something.
Right.
And the singing wasn't very good on some of it. And if you listen back to the stuff that I liked and a lot of the stuff I picked, I mean, it runs the gamut from, you know, real slow, pretty ballads to, you know...
Wise men say only fools rush in, but I can't help falling in love with you.
We had, you know, we'll put something like that, and the next thing will be, you know, a total.
You can live it up and love it up, but I won't ever give you up. And if you ever leave me, baby, I won't take it if you go. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm following you.
Ready, Kenny?
Hey, you can go to town and run around, and baby, I could be your clown. But if you ever cheat on me, well, I won't take it if you go. Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm following. Maybe someday you'll change. I'll always feel the same about you.
You got to mix them up.
Yep.
So we mixed them up, and I think we put a lot of stuff that's like real pretty, real slow, and then the real rockers. When I listen to records, and every one of them goes, well, next song. Well, I go like about three songs in, I'm like, come on.
Well.
Yeah. What else you got, you know?
You're starting to remind me of Dung, who I used to work with on K-Fog. Well, baby. I have one question I wanted to go back. I want to digress just a little. What was the favorite dish in the diner at 3 a.m.?
Moon pies.
Moon pie. Well, of course. They're good all day.
I don't know if people know that out in other parts of the country, but moon pies is a very southern... kind of, it's like a southern Twinkie or something,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And moon pies, which actually Kenny, who was from the South, told me has all the vitamins a body needs to grow healthy
yes.
and strong.
That's true.
Isn't that right?
That's true.
And you can show they have the nutrition thing on the back that will document that?
Don't look at that.
Don't read that.
Apparently, the southern astronauts actually brought moon pies.
That's right.
Yeah, the southern astronauts. Yeah.
Well, you know, that's a good luck charm, that's, too. You know, if you're going to make it, then, you know, at least you got a moon pie with you. Coming back, just think, what is a moon pie that's been on the moon actually worth?
It won't dissolve in space either, so that works.
Yeah,
for time does not affect it.
For like 185 years, yes, it won't dissolve, so that's always good, too.
My love may die, but my moon pie will always survive.
Now, we're having fun because that's the other facet for... I can't imagine any of our listeners haven't seen you in concert or on television. Or, you know, shaking down hookers somewhere on one of the streets in town. But
that's it. That's where I saw him.
But it really is a show that is as much a review as it is a show, because you guys genuinely are funny. You tell great stories. You literally bring the crowd into it, and it ends up just becoming.
Thank you for saying that. And I have to say, I'm going to go off on a tangent here, but I'm so proud of my band live. We are the last of a dying breed of guys who actually like to throw down and entertain. And it kills me when I go. I always, when I go out and we see a band that has like a hit, and you go out, we call them shoegazers.
Yeah.
They look down at their shoes. They don't put on a show. They smoke a cigarette and a dirty T-shirt. They show up a half an hour late, and I go, you're messing it up for everybody. People are not going to come back if you do this. And we show up. I take pride. It's like we've been, Kenny and I have been playing 26 years together. We love our job. It's the best job we ever had. We came from small towns. His dad was a working guy, my dad too. We got this job, and we died and went to heaven. He's never missed a day in 26 years, me either. We never missed a show. We show up on time, and like you say, to put on a show, I got a suit that's covered in like 35 pounds of mirrors, literally, a 35-pound mirror suit. The band has suits that look like they stole them out of James Brown's closet. We got a piano. For this. We're playing some of this, you know, we'll do like... I fell into a burning ring of fire. And all of a sudden, we've got a piano player that's got a piano that bursts into flames and smoke will come out of it.
I love that one.
I mean, people, you go.
That's one of my favorites, too.
You know, we're not trying to challenge the audience. We're trying to go have fun. For God's sakes, people come out and have fun, you know.
And you do, and you succeed. And that led you, you know, obviously, that raconteur sense, you know. Tell me how, because I always would, in those early days when I would see, I'd say, not that I'm prescient or anything, it was obvious to anyone, especially if it was obvious to me, it had to be obvious to anyone, but I would always say, these guys should be on TV. These guys could do a stand-up show. And you did end up doing a show that basically said, okay, we're going to show... You know, the rock and roll, you know, warts and all, the real life side of it. How did that actually come about? How did you eventually weave your way into having a show, a couple,
you know,
actually?
People would kept coming to me and saying, you should do a television show. Would you like to be on TV or something? And I would always say, can I bring my band? Because I really love, you know, I've had the same guys forever, and we're a tight band, and I never wanted to give that up to be a television you know, figure or something. I says, no, man, I want to, the band is the thing. And finally somebody said, yeah, we, you know, I said, here's my idea. It's about me and I got a band and we play music. See, that's my idea. And they go, okay, well, it seems like you've done a lot of thinking about this.
Yeah.
So we'll go with it. And
you really wanted to stretch your acting skills,
you know,
right?
I remember when we first did it, though, we actually got an acting coach, and she worked with us for like, you know, two times before we did the show, because I thought, you know, we don't, I mean, they're not actors at all. They're just musicians. I thought they won't even know any of the terms of directors come to us. And we did it, and the guys were hilarious, but like the night before the first thing, I don't know if I ever told you this, Kenny, the night before we did the first show, I remember waking up in the middle of the night, and I thought, we're going to go on TV, and we don't know anything about what we're doing, and Michael J. Fox is going to bury us. It's like some guy who has, you know, like, I got timing, buddy, watch out. It's like, but we had so much fun doing it, I think, that people gave us, you know, they gave us a little leeway.
And it was a hilarious show, and it did, you know, for moments, it had the real, authentic side of what goes on, and then, of course, the fantasy world that only goes on inside of your heads,
which I can't believe got on TV.
Actually,
we had a rerun, like some reruns of that or whatever. My manager burnt some discs of that because one of the guys in the band goes, I haven't seen all the episodes, and the piano player. And I said, okay, we'll bring it out on the bus. So we put on the bus, and everybody watches it, and they're in hysterics at Kenny, the drummer, because he's funny and he's got all the sarcastic lines. And when I come on, and I have like a romantic love scene or something, whenever I come on, everybody gets up and makes sandwiches.
Yeah, is that
me included? And I realized the most boring thing is me in the whole show because I was always the straight guy.
Right.
You know? I'm Andy Griffith in Mayberry.
Well, and especially since you always got the girl, it's like why should they sit around and watch you get the girl?
Yeah, it's true. It was pretty awful. You got the girl though a couple times.
I did. It's not as exciting as it sounds because remember I was making out with her and she had strep throat.
Oh yeah.
She did? The actress?
Yeah, you didn't know this?
Oh, my God.
No, wait,
God.
Wait. No, not in the script, but in reality?
No, in reality, they called me and they said, you got to come in and meet the producer. I went, oh gosh, I'm in trouble. They said, that woman you were making out with in all these scenes has strep throat. She's in the hospital. And they go, get to the doctor right away.
And Kenny goes, no, I gave it to her.
That's the least of my problems.
That's all she caught.
Oh,
count herself lucky.
Kenny. I shouldn't be feeling this on you. Yeah, that was a story in which you could have been gravely ill.
That's right.
And we both know that she could have been even more ill. Mm. And whoever thought that the idea of having you making out with her in the first place was ill too. So
well,
Kenny would write those in.
Was that it?
To sneak them in there.
Maybe I should make out in this scene.
Yeah, I got a good idea for a scene. I make out with the girl this time, not you, Chris.
Kenny, your character is just passing the bank. Yeah, but maybe you should stop and make out with one of the tellers.
I like it. It's good. Why don't we make a little music here? What do you want to play next? Because obviously you guys just on a cue go bang bang.
You want to
sing?
Which one?
I was going to make you just sing a little bit of this old Jerry Lee.
Okay.
You hurt me so, you never know how much you hurt me.
No, that doesn't get it.
You shed my nerves and you rattled my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. Kiss me, baby. Feels good. Hold me, baby. I wanna love you like a lover should. You're fine, so kind. Got to tell this world that you're mine, 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 mine. I chew my nails and I twiddle my thumbs. I sure am nervous, but it sure is fun. Come on, baby, drive me crazy. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Do you know that Carl Perkins passed on that song first? That song, Jerry Lee Lewis, they were offered it to Carl Perkins because he had the hit out. And they said, what do you want to do? Do you want to do this or some other song which is forgotten? And he said, well, I'll pick the other one. That's the hit. And Great Balls of Fire was second choice, and they handed that off to Jerry Lee.
Now, who could you hear it? Because even as you're saying that, I'm thinking, well, it was that fiery keyboard that made, you know, at least in my mind.
Yeah, sure.
So could it have, would it have been? Who knows? No. Maybe Carl knew, like, man, I ain't going to get it. Maybe he can get it.
Yeah, Jerry Lee, when he does a version of something, he's so infectious, and he's so arrogant and proud, and at the same time kind of crazy, and yet he takes stuff and he always makes it his own. He does that song.
Today I passed you on the street, and my heart fell at my feet. I can't help it if I'm still in love with you.
But Jerry Lee sings it with his own lyrics, of course. He's willing to change. Number one, he'll go in and change a Hank Williams song. Here's his version.
Today you pass me on the street, and your heart fell at my feet. You can't help it if you're still in love with me. That's right, darling.
I mean, he just he tears it up. He is the killer.
I met him once at the old Palomino, and we're backstage, and he says to me, oh, son. You know, he sonned me. Not the good son, not the Sun Studios, the son. Yeah. And it was when I was doing radio at your favorite station, at KMET, and we were playing. He had put out a record in somewhere in the mid-'80s, and we were playing it. He said, oh, son, I'm really happy that you're playing my record. I think you and I need to have a drink together. And I said, oh, okay, Mr. Lewis. And he goes, here we go. Drink right from the bottle. Here's some Johnny Black. I said, oh, well, I don't really like the dark spirits. I'm more of a vodka guy. And he gave me a look. I got a look like, but you know, I probably could, yeah, I'll do a few with you. No problem, sir. And I chugged, and he gave me another look like, that wasn't a real chug. And I'm like, okay, glug, glug. Okay, now you had a drink with me. I'm like, okay, killer, you got it.
I watched him in San Francisco. He came out and played, and I was standing at the front. You know, I wanted to see him, so I got up in the front. And the only other people standing up way in the front were a bunch of punks. They had their leather jackets on and obligatory tattoos and spiked hair or whatever else. So they're standing in the front and they're like, you know, kind of like a sarcastic, we're up here, we're tough guys, we're going to watch Jerry Lee. He walks out on stage, and I heard the story later. Somebody told me that backstage he got a hold of, you know, somebody left him a lot of drinks. And
I'm not shocked.
He came out and he was going. He was ready to play, but he walked out and he was very combative.
Yeah.
And when he walked out on the stage, he walked right to the front of the stage and stared down these punks. And at first they laughed a little bit, like, oh, he's staring us down, huh? And then there was a look on all these guys' face like, oh, this guy's crazy.
Yeah.
He might come off the stage and kill you. And all these young punks start backing up. And they kept backing up. And I was in hysterics. I'm going, man, he just... It's like
I got that stare. I know that stare. It's like something back there. It's like, you know those old horror movies where you'd see the devil eye, the flame would be in his eye or whatever.
Committed.
I saw that, man.
He's very committed.
Spooky.
You go, I don't want to mess with Jerry.
No, you don't want to mess with the killer. Why don't you give us another one? Because, well, actually, when I say give us another one, you guys usually end up giving me three because you're on, you know, you just have that sense between the two of you. Boom, 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 and it's a three song. So
you want to try something, Ken?
Yeah.
Now blue ain't a word for the way that I feel. There's a storm brewing in this heart of mine. This ain't no crazy dream, I know that it's real. You're someone else's love now, you're not mine. Crazy arms that reach to hold somebody new, while my burning heart keeps saying, you're not mine, not mine, not mine. My troubled mind knows soon to another you'll be wed. That's why I'm lonely all the time. Darling, that's why I'm lonely all the time.
Now, what would happen if...
That's a Jerry Lee song. He does a version of that, too, and we do a version of that on the record, which
right.
The best part of it on the record, I think, is my piano player tearing it up.
Oh, yeah.
Tearing it up? Now, what would happen when you look over at Kenny and say, you want to do one? He said, no.
Oh. He does sometimes. He does. He has sometimes. You know you have.
Yeah.
It's true. He goes, nah.
You've been ornery?
I'm very ornery.
He's smarter than I am. Sometimes I'll go, how about this one? No, that's not a good one.
So basically, when you don't feel it, it doesn't take a lot for him to pick up on that cue?
Right.
Do you give him the evil eye?
I don't have that evil eye.
You don't quite have
I'm
the
not,
Jerry
I'm
evil
not
eye perfect.
Category.
You know, he's a good
practice.
Editor. Kenny's a good editor. He has good taste, and a lot of times I'll come in, I'll go, hey, what if we do this or that? And a lot of times he will say, nah, I think that's not good. And I'll just go, you know, he's probably right. Because he's not a yes man. It's not like, yeah, sure, we'll all wear the hats. No.
Well, but see, that's probably important in keeping the way you guys have had the camaraderie and the camaraderie the band's had. You're probably, you know, glad that everyone lays it out there. And that's the only way you're going to, after all these years, continue to, you know, reinvent yourselves, reinvigorate yourselves.
I think everybody in the band, we got a couple things going for us. One is we all laugh at the same jokes. If you get, and I'm serious, if you have a band and you have somebody in there and they tell a joke and like three guys laugh and one guy doesn't, you go, that's going to be a problem because if you don't get it, you know
right.
what I mean?
Yeah, because you spend a lot of time, you know, on the touring front. And speaking of the touring front, we should let the people know that there's going to be a couple of shows. You're going to play the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Center, which is a beautiful hall over in Thousand Oaks nearby, and a perfect room for anyone who either A, has seen Chris Isaac and the band, or B, if you've never seen, it's absolutely a must. And then down in Anaheim at the Grove, another beautiful hall. Those are going to be on 11/25 at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Center, and then on 11/27. So these are kind of like Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Thanksgiving shows.
It should be
all white meat, by the way.
It's going to be. We'll play. You know, it'll be Wicked Game and Baby Did a Bad Thing. But we've been throwing in the middle of our set. We have a whole set that we throw in, like a second show, that is this early American rock and roll of, you know, Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and Carl Perkins and Orbison and stuff. And, you know, we have a piano that catches fire. When we do, we'll break into Pretty Woman. And I love, it's like, you know, you hear this. And behind us, there's a pinup girl that's inflating that. And I go, I'm so excited. I don't know why, but I love that part of the show because I always want to. I can't turn around because I'm singing, but I'm dying to turn around and see because I can see this thing is about 25 feet tall, the fit kind of a 50s pinup girl that inflates. And I just look at the audience and they're going, what is that? What's going on?
And then they start to get it and they're howling. And that's when you really want to look. Yeah. Like, dang, I don't get to see my own show. I'm in the middle of it too much.
I'm so cheap. I'm glad I did get to the pinup girl because I could have got, for a little less money, I could have got a guy holding a bag of groceries. And I almost got that, but I didn't have quite the connection.
Yeah, couldn't fit it in.
If truth be told, Kenny's had that blow up girl on the bus for a great many years.
No, we don't want to go into that. Not until the court case is settled.
Oh, okay. Well, and I'm sorry if I broke any confidentiality agreement.
I think he's paid enough, Your Honor, just through the terrible rash he developed.
See now, ladies and gentlemen, if I do have any ladies or gentlemen listening to our program, this is the kind of rapport and repartee that you can expect from a show with Chris Isaak and the band. Give us one more from the record that is near and dear to your heart.
How about this one? Up in the morning, out to the stage, sing like a fool for my pay. That lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Show me that river, take me across, take all my troubles away. That lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. Sweet Lord up above, don't you know I'm pining? Tears are in my eyes. Send down those clouds with a silvery lining. Lift me to paradise. Show me that river, take me across, take all my troubles away. That lucky old son got nothing to do but roll around heaven all day. But roll around heaven.
I certainly know where I'm going to be on 11/25. Boy, you know, it is just such a treat to have you in. And I knew when you were coming in that it would just be a ball, and it has been. And you also were so gracious to give us an autographed guitar that we can use to pledge in our auction, as we are a public radio station. And it's a beautiful guitar, and it's obviously has your wit and witticism as well as some neat handwriting. You have good penmanship.
You know, my mom told me, said, Chris, you're not the most talented or good-looking, but with deportment and penmanship, you could go far.
Well,
and I've focused on those things.
Well, we'll put that guitar up on our website so everyone can see. Even though there aren't lines on the guitar, you can see how he would have written neatly within the lines were there lines on the guitar. And it is a gorgeous guitar, and I want to thank you for that. What I want to do now, before we say goodbye, is... You guys have done such a great job and always do a great job. You guys literally could be driving a convertible down the road and just be singing at the top of your lungs, and it would be fun and sound great. But I thought we might leave with the actual recorded.
Can we do a little bit before we do of your theme song?
No.
Do we do the Sky theme song?
Oh, yeah.
I haven't worked at all yet.
Yeah, rocking with Sky.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, rocking with Sky. He wakes up in the morning, he don't comb his hair. Oh yeah, rocking with Sky. He's a modulating papa, he's everywhere. Yeah, rocking with Sky. Love that song. Yeah, rocking with Sky. Tune, children. Yeah, rocking with Sky. Here comes the hits. Yeah, yeah, rocking with Sky.
Now, you know what? That will be my theme song now. See, you guys know. Now, have you got the royalties on that?
I'm giving it to you all, rights and royalties. You use it any way you all want, right, brother.
Well, if it becomes a worldwide smash, I'll cut you our usual good deal. 3% for you, 97.
Invite me to the party, buddy.
3% for you, 97 for me. That's
sounds
a fair
good
deal. That's a better deal than you usually get, right? Oh. Chris and Kenny, I can't thank you guys enough for coming by. It's been way too long in between visits on the radio, and we'll make sure that the next time this studio will be up and running, and we'll have you come in and do some electric rocking and rolling with us.
Thanks for having us. I didn't have any idea where the studio was, and I didn't know that it was this. It's really awesome that you have it in such an old place. It's like 10 walls. It's right next to that strip club.
Yeah.
I didn't know Amber still danced there. She said to say hi to you, by the way, Scott.
Ooh,
she said,
my wife's
clear.
Listening.
I don't know what she meant by that. She said everything's coast is clear.
Wife's listening. She loves you, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Not the way. Ixnay on the Amber.
Oh, sorry. Could have been a different Sky on the radio.
Yeah, it's the other Sky. There's another Sky.
She
that guy
just meant that guy. Maybe I missed
yeah, maybe. Her,
she slurs her words, you know. She, too, is having problems with that stuff at the table that you were talking about. Yeah, so it's Chris Isaak, Kenny Dale Johnson, and we're going to leave you now on 88.5 KCSN with actually the recorded version of the song that they put on their new album, Beyond the Sun. Clearly, you can feel the love that they have for the music. All of us have a love for that music. If it's a discovery for you, great. You're in the hands of a master who treats it with reverence and irreverently at the same time. Make sure you go out and pick up that record, Beyond the Sun. And this is a song recorded and written for it. We're going to live it up now as we say sayonara to Chris Isaak and Kenny Dale Johnson.
Sayonara.
Thanks, buddy.
Sayonara. Here we go with a little bit of the rock stomp that he wanted to put on the record on KCSN.
Love it up, but I won't ever give you up. And if you ever leave me, baby, I won't take it if you go. Oh no, oh no, I'm following you. And you can go downtown and run around, and baby, I could be your clown. But if you ever cheat on me, well, I won't take it. I know, yeah, I know, I know. Tell me lies and I might even sympathize. But if you ever leave me, baby, I won't take it. I know. Yeah, I know. I'm gonna know. I'll be following you. And if you ever leave me, baby, I won't take it. I'll go. Oh no. If you go, I'm following you.
remembered answer. Rolling by you, rolling by
We didn't know that it would blow up with such might. The stars are even brighter. Could just abide tonight. Send out the shockwave.
The latest from Jane's Addiction, from the great escape artist. Irresistible Force is the name of that one. And this is brand new music from a woman who graced the stage of the KCSN first benefit concert. It's her cover of the classic From Joe South. It's Lissy on 88.5 KCSN.